You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to a Wednesday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Tony East. As always, I'm copying Adam's intro. I'm one of the hosts of this lovely show. I cover the Pacers for Forbes and the West Indianapolis Community News. And of course, that means Adam is with me on the other line, my lovely co-host, Adam Friedman. Adam, it was weird taking your intro style.
Yeah, it's been weird. I haven't talked to you in like 5-6 days.
I know. Our all-star break was, I was in New Orleans. It was fun, Adam.
Yeah, how was your vacation? Did you go on, is it Bourbon Street? That's the main street
there? I did, many times.
Nice.
Yes. Many times. I was on the Zion gumbo diet. It was great. It was very fun.
Oh, God. I hope you're not 235 pounds or whatever. No, he's 285.
No, he weighs more than me. Don't worry. Yeah, we're good.
Well, he's got 8 inches on you, Tony. You're tall, but you're not that tall.
Yeah. All-Star weekend was fun, but now we're through it. We don't have to talk about it anymore. But I do think, and I'm writing an article about this, and I'm kind of paraphrasing the intro, All-Star break is like not actually the halfway point, but kind of perceived that way. It's a good reflection time. So I'm writing and giving Pacers players awards for the first half of the season. So all the awards like MVP, Most Improved Player, Rookie of the Year, all that stuff, I'm giving them to Pacers players. So we're going to do that on the show. It's going to be fun. If you're ready, Adam, we can get started.
Yeah, let's do it.
You want to do an easy one, like with no contention first, or one that is hard and like has to be discussed first?
Dealer's choice.
Okay, we'll do MVP first. I think this one's still obvious and easy, but it's fun to talk about. Mine is Domantas Sabonis.
Ooh, I think I might go different than you, but make me the case for Sabonis real fast.
I think he is the most important player on the team in terms of their success every game. I think that his all-star candidacy speaks for itself as well. He gets a ton of touches every game and does good stuff with them. He gets the ball the most often of any player. He's a great screen setter. He basically makes their offense go. He's really good at guarding other centers. You know, they literally give him the ball and say, make stuff happen. Run DHOs, great for other guys. And he's been, I think, the biggest reason they've been so good this year. So he's my MVP.
Okay. I mean, I get why you made that choice, and I'm not disagreeing.
I'm surprised that he's not the easy pick for you.
Well, so here's the thing, and I think part has to do with the underratedness, but I think TJ Warren is.
Yeah, I'm going to say you're picking Warren, aren't you?
So here's my case for Warren. He is shooting 53, 37, 80. So that's whatever those lines are. That's a very good stat line for 18.5 points per game. He's played about 100 less minutes than Sabonis, so not that much more. And if he didn't have the stupid concussion, he would have played more minutes so far this season. Just bad luck on that play. And if you look at how critical he's been, just look to the fact that he missed five games, and lost every game he missed. I mean, there.
They did lose every game he missed.
That's not just him, but you have to understand that, you know, with the way the league has gone, we're kind of the small forward shooting guard. You need a guy that can defend the type of guys, and Warren is their best body to throw those kind of players. He's made, I think, a huge stride defensively from where he was with the Suns, for sure. And he's just been, like, their most, like, night in, night out, when you need a guy to go 11 of 15, he's your guy. Sabonis has been really good, and he's important in every offensive play. But, like, Warren's the kind of guy where one night where nobody's shooting it well, Warren can go 14 of 17 and score 38.
It just happened against the Bucks. It literally just happened.
He can just have one of those. Like Sabonis has nights where, like, he makes everybody else better, and that's certainly a huge part of any player's making your return. But Warren's nights where it's like, everybody sucks, I'm the best player, I'm just going to win the game.
If this was NFL with like offensive player of the year, I think you have a better case for Warren. But I'm picking Sabonis. I think it, you know, like the Sabonis and the bench groups are so good too. Like the way he elevates so many lineups, it's hard for me not to pick him.
Yeah, I just think. I mean, well, I think you put Warren on the bench units too. He did pretty well. So I mean, let's be real.
Yeah,
he's not a center. I guess.
He can score on anybody. Like the Bucks. It's so funny watching that matchup unfold, because the shots they give up, he just loves those shots, right? So he just takes a dribble. He's like, oh, sick, I'm wide open, and he just throws it in. And Doris Burke, and they had the football guys do the broadcast for ESPN. I don't know if you watched ESPN or Fox Sports India. They were all like, man, he keeps making these weird, like, herky-jerky floaters. I'm like, no, he makes one of these, like, every game. Like,
no, not one. He makes six of them a game. Yeah. No, but I mean, look, I mean, the thing I find amazing about Warren is that everybody was like, oh, this guy is a good stats bad team player. That was kind of the rap on him, right? He's going to play for the Suns. He can take an ungodly amount of shots. And you look at him, he's basically putting the same amount of points per game.
More.
And he's, Well, it's about, he was 19.6 years ago, 18 last year, but about the same.
2.5 more shots to get there, though.
Yeah. Well, he's shooting less shots overall than he ever did, and he's shooting a better percentage from two than he ever did. I mean, he clearly has found his spot. And defensively, I mean, like I said, I already said it, he is just miles from where he used to be. I mean, he just, he still needs to get better, don't get me wrong, but like, you can really see a player that, like,
remember the end of the road trip? They were like, all right, you're guarding D'Angelo Russell. All right, you're guarding Damian Lillard. Like, what the hell? TJ Warren? How, where did that come from?
Well, and I think they've only started to tap into his potential. I mean, remember, he's like 27 this year, 26 this year. But he hasn't played with a real coaching staff his entire career. I mean, the Suns are not a real franchise until this year, really.
And they flipped a lot of coaches, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, he's hitting his athletic peak at the same time he's getting probably really good coaching. And I think, I mean, you know, he's not going to ever be, like, one of the best five small forwards in the league. But maybe he could be top 10, which, I mean, you know, be that nine or number 10 guy in the league. And that's a pretty good stride. And I think he's been, to me, when I watch Spacers, at least on offense, I'm like, I suppose he does every little thing right. But, like, when they need a bucket, it's TJ Warren day in, day out.
Yeah. I still pick Sabonis. I just, like, the way he makes everybody better is so big for me. But, yeah, Warren's a good case. That actually threw me off. I thought for sure we'd open with one we have the same answer. Is it dealer's choice for the next one, or do you want to do the next one?
Let's do six man. Another
six man of the year. This one's a lot harder, I thought.
Yeah,
I had to bounce.
Do you want me to go first this time, or do you want to go first?
You can go first. Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's Doug McDermott.
Doug McDermott. Okay, not my answer. Good. This is crazy. I thought we'd have way more agreeing than we thought. Doug McDermott is also not my second place sixth man candidate.
So here's them in six man, right? Jeremy Lamb probably would be this player if he
understood.
But he's not. He played 42 games as a starter this so far this year, so he's definitely not been a bench player. Yes. So really, the competition comes down to McDermott, Justin Holiday, and McConnell. I think Justin Holiday is a good case. I think McConnell is slightly below McDermott and Justin Holiday just because he's not quite as versatile in terms of just like being able to play end of game and stuff like that. And most times, he's close some games, but most of the time can't unless somebody's hurt. And I think just McDermott edges out Holiday because he's shooting 44% from three.
I thought it was higher than that at this point.
It's 44.2 right now.
Just ridiculous. Yeah, McDermott is a great can't choice, right? And like a lot of the reason the other guys are able to do what they do in the second unit is because he doesn't freaking miss. It is. We'll have to talk about this once it's for sure ironed out. But him losing a few minutes with the starting lineup, like that they had envisioned forever happening, you know, since that rotation has been solidified, him losing minutes has been very weird to me. But I want to see more games before I officially say that that's the thing that's happening. McDermott is not my choice or my second choice, Adam.
Okay, who's your first?
My winner was TJ McConnell.
Okay.
I'm surprised you put him below the wings. I think that he is like, you look at McDermott shooting so well and Justin Holiday shooting so well, and so, like, they deserve credit for being more accurate. But I think they're getting a lot of good shots because of the things that Sabonis and TJ McConnell are doing. They're really good at probing into the lane and setting those guys up for easier shots. And I think a lot of the reason the offense for the second unit works is because he's been so good at being energy, getting in the lane, making that unit go.
So here's the thing I'll say, and this probably has to do with is Broaden just kind of a better version of McConnell. But like I've seen McDermott and Justin Holiday both be successful at end of games, no matter who's in the lineup, right? So, I mean, I get McConnell definitely. I'm kind of with you where he is kind of a critical piece, but I guess what I feel like is McConnell can't quite close the games the way McDermott and Holiday can. More of a see McConnell close games when, like, Brogdon is hurt or something kind of weird happens where a couple guys have foul trouble or whatnot. So that's kind of where I give the edge to those two guys simply because they can kind of – you can play McDermott an entire fourth quarter, and that's super
valuable. Yeah, they're definitely better fits with other players, and they deserve credit for that. And you're right. You're absolutely right. Like, Holiday's closed a ton of games. He's closed more games than, like, Miles Turner has this year probably.
Probably.
I mean, but rightfully so. He's been a 40-plus percent three-point shooter and a great wing defender, and – McDermott, same thing. He's closed a few games because he just doesn't miss some games. And, yeah, they deserve a lot of credit for that. But I think maybe I was too focused on, like, just the reserve group as a whole. But, like, I think McConnell just – like, the game – like, the – so, like, when the Pacers' bench kicks the ass of the other team's bench and, like, extends their lead or takes it from a 10-point game to their tied or whatever, like, I feel like a lot of that is, like, oh, McConnell comes in and, like, changes the way that things are going. I think that's huge, and I think that that's massively impactful. So I went with him. That's that one is harder. I totally did not think we'd have the same answer for this one. All I did think you would go with Justin Holiday over McDermott.
Yeah, I think it all goes back to that 3-point percentage. I mean, I think they're pretty comparable players. I get Holly's a little better defender, but McDermott, I mean,
But that's the hardest 4% to get to, is from 40 to 45, basically.
Well, and when he's on the floor, I just feel like there's like a level of respect that Holiday might get eventually. But I think Holiday's 3-point shooting is kind of seen as like he's in a hot streak kind of thing, where like McDermott is like very much respected by everybody when he's on the floor. And that creates just kind of this whole, like, you see this kind of, you see the defenders having to like basically stick to him, which creates this all kinds of spacing for everybody out there. And then the minute McDermott kind of like pulls out for a quick second, boom, shot goes down. Especially in, there's been some key moments where he's hit some huge threes. I mean, I'm thinking Denver and the West Coast, Tripper went 6 of 7 that fourth quarter. I mean, he's hit some huge threes that are, you know, end of games that have really shifted the way this team has played.
Yeah. All right, we'll do an easy one next. Adam, the Pacers Rookie of the Year.
So are we going Brian Bowen or what?
Yeah, it's between Bowen and Goga. Bowen has 3 appearances, I think like 6 or 7 total minutes. Not that I don't love watching some Brian Bowen with mad ends, but yeah, it's been Goga. And I know we both think or thought that there was a chance that maybe the Pacers alter their roster a little bit to get someone to play above Goga come playoff time, but you know, his ups have been really good. If you'll remember that game in Charlotte, you know, when he started, he had a double-double with 4 blocks, played really well. They beat the Cavs a few nights. I know all this timing because I just wrote this, but a few nights later, they played the Cavs. He had 4 assists, 4 blocks, 11 rebounds. Like, there was a stretch around the year where we're like, okay, like, yeah, he's pretty good. And recently, he's definitely had some ups and downs, and that's what made us hesitate to say, maybe he's not playoff ready, but he's looked pretty good overall for a rookie, I would say.
Can I ask you a question? I agree with these Rookie of the Year. Where do you think next season Goga goes? Like, how do you think that works?
Depends who's in front of – how many guys are in front of him.
Well, so right, we talk about the issue, right? They have 3 centers. Even Sabonis is really playing center for most of his back bench center minutes, right?
I mean, yep.
So, like the Goga thing, I get the whole idea of take the best player that's available, and Pierce thought he was the best player available at the time. And you look at the draft. I mean, you could maybe make a case for Matisse Thybulle, maybe Brandon Clark, who both have been – I mean, Clark's been really solid, but he's got a lot of minutes too, playing with a bunch of rookies. And so, like, maybe in a case they should have picked one of those guys. But I guess I just don't see, without some kind of trade, how he even breaks into a chance to be able to prove that he was worth the pick, right? I think he's just, like, I feel like his destiny might be 3 years as the third center on this team, and then he's cut because it's just, like, there's no room for him.
I don't think he'll ever get cut, but, yeah, it's going to be, without a move, unless he's involved in the move, it's going to be hard to see, it's hard to first see him, like,
well, and he has really no trade value right now. I mean, right? I mean, maybe like a
tiny. Oh, yeah. For a first round pick last year has back end of the first round trade value for sure.
No, but yeah, but his trade value is like a throw, and he's not like going to be the centerpiece. No, right? It's kind of like, oh, we'll give you a first round pick, and we'll give you our first round pick from last year.
There's certainly a tier between throw in and centerpiece.
Yeah, no, I understand what you mean. I just mean his trade value is not like, you can't trade him for anybody straight up that probably gets you any value, right?
Maybe. I mean, I'd have to look at other contracts. Maybe.
Yeah, the contract thing becomes an issue too, I guess. I'm thinking you probably couldn't flip him for anybody that's that much better than him, I guess.
Probably, yes. He was a first round pick last year.
Yeah, but those first round picks lose value the minute they're picked. I mean, they're sure. Like
absolutely. They're like, that's true with everybody though.
They're like a car. I mean, that thing drives off a lot at lose 10.
Not a Goga criticism. I still think he has a decent chunk of value, and his highs have been pretty good.
Yeah,
which is why.
Yeah, well, and remember he's a center too, which is sort of the odd position now in the league.
Yes, unless you have Jokic-esque skills. All right, those were. I thought we'd have 2 agreements, maybe 3 in there, and we only had 1. That's a
problem. We're not going to agree the entire show, I guarantee it.
No way. And we have harder ones coming up, so let's take a break and do them. So I said we had harder ones coming up, and I actually think I am wrong about that. The next one is most improved player, and I think we're going to pick the same guy here, given who you picked for MVP. I gave away my answer.
You think I'm picking Warren most improved player, right?
I would be shocked if it wasn't him. I'm not going to lie.
So this is a tough one, right?
Because I didn't think so. Well, I did not think so.
I'm gonna make some cases real fast. So okay. First, Justin Holiday
was my second place.
Has gone from a fringe NBA player to a legit, like, could be a starter next year in the league, maybe.
Yes.
Aaron Holiday went from a pretty solid like rookie potential to like maybe could be in a rotation, which is a leap in itself. I mean, go from, you know. He's not in rotation right now, but on most teams he would be. On most, you know, teams, except for, you know, these really good ones, he'd be in rotation. And then the third one I'm thinking of is like Malcolm Brogdon, right?
Brogdon,
He went from third option point guard, shooting, whatever you want to call him, whatever he plays, shooting guard, I guess, to, you know, he's a legit number 1A on a team, 1B on a team to Oladipo. It could be 1A at times. Like, he kind of proved to be a pretty good number one. And so, like, you know, and then you could say Warren, but I think Warren actually didn't really improve. He just proved that he could do what he did in Phoenix and in a better place. So I don't know if that's necessarily an improvement. So I think, to me, it's Malcolm Brogdon. That's why I go.
Brogdon's a great choice. I struggled with Brogdon Sabonis for these reasons. It's easier to materialize for Pacers listeners with Sabonis. But, like, we saw him do this in 20-minute spurts against bench players last year. So, like, we knew he was capable of it. So him doing it better and against starters, it's harder to see that as improvement and more like he's just playing more. Yes, you know, like, we all know he got better. We're watching him. But it's harder to differentiate that. To me, I picked TJ Warren. He's my pick. Then hit this guy, Warren, going from literally bottom five defender in all of basketball to holy shit, they're picking him to guard Damian Lillard and D'Angelo Russell and all these guys because he's doing a great job. Dan Burke has whipped him into shape and said, you're going to be the best team defender ever and be a quality on-ball guy, and he is. And that is a huge jump to me. Going from literally horrible to above average is a huge gap. And on offense, best, like you talked about earlier, best career percentage from two. So he's shooting amazing at the rim, amazing on these mid-range shots. And he's the engine that drives their offense when they need a bucket. Like, Sabonis is really good in the set offenses, like I talked about earlier, but go score TJ Warren. I think his jump from – he could do that with the Suns, but his jump from horrible defender to useful defender while still maintaining, if not refining, his scoring makes him my answer.
You know what I think is kind of crazy? If you look at the per 36 numbers for Sabonis, Warren, and Brogdon, they basically have all been mirrored. I mean, they all play
year to year. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Warren.
Yeah, Brogdon I wanted to talk about too, but go ahead.
Well, so they're all. So Warren is playing a little more minutes this year, and Sabonis actually made a huge leap. Well, they're all playing more minutes, essentially, is what I'm trying to say, and their per 36 numbers don't change, right? So you look at, like, points per game, assists, kind of, Brogdon has the same number, Sabonis has the same numbers as last year. Maybe slight difference. Maybe, like, we're talking like a half a decimal point here. Here or there. But, like, it's interesting because, like, when they do feel different, right? Like, it feels different that Warren scores 18 points with the team that's winning.
Whatever. Right, you know, right, absolutely.
It feels different that Brogdon is on a team that's winning 32 games and is, like, the go-to clutch guy for most of the season so far.
I struggled a ton with Brogdon here because his role changed so much.
When he's come back to earth
recently. It's like the opposite of the Sabonis improvement where he's just, like, playing more, doing the same things. It's like, I think we can say for sure Brogdon improved going from third option to 1.5 option, but, like, I don't know how good he was at this stuff last year. I didn't see the Bucks enough to know. But I can't give TJ Warren credit for improving in a different role and being an awesome defender and not give Brogdon credit. So I think you picking Brogdon is making me realize I did not give him enough credit, but I still am going with Warren.
I think, though, you could say for Brogdon not to be kind of to pay against my guy, but his 3-point percentage has been kind of garbage.
Oh, bad. Very bad.
He's not been that great of a shooter. He's been really good.
He is made up for by being a great passer. It's not talked about enough how good his passing
speed. Yeah, he's been a great passer, but I mean, it is worth talking about that he's been, like, if you get this passing, like, originally he had this passing with, like, the really high shooting splits as well, which was like that's a guy who was like a top.
He was insane through December, like mid-December.
I mean, he's got to figure out
get an all-star.
He's got to get a shooting back up, and part of that playing with Oladipo will help that. But, like, if he could get his shooting, not even up to 50, 40, 90, but, like, 48, 38, 90, then he becomes a top 30 player in the league with his 8 assists a game on 8 points.
If he can play out Vic really well, he'll be awesome.
Yeah, but he's got to figure
that out. This one was hard. This was a – I actually grappled with Justin Holiday a lot more than Brogdon. I mean, like you said, fringe of the NBA. He got signed, like, what, like, late July, like the 15th, 20th range, which it's only 2 weeks, but that's a long time in free agency. To go from where he's been to, like, now being this awesome shooter who, you know, he has the shot fake one dribble move from beyond the arc, and he's okay with his off the dribble moves. He can cut really well. Awesome defender. Like, he was a pretty good defender before, but still, Dan Burke helped him a little too. To go from that guy to very useful player was a big jump. And I did write a blurb about him in my piece. He deserves some credit.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Speaking of another award where Justin Holiday deserves credit, Defensive Player of the Year, Adam, who is your pick?
Well, I picked first last time. You can go first this time.
Justin Holiday did not win Defensive Player of the Year for me, though he got second place again for a third different award. My answer is Miles Turner. Shocking, I know.
Yeah, I know. Shocked that he's the best defender on this team. Shocked.
Yeah, it's kind of lame because I was doing research for this, so this is interesting to me. The Pacers defense is ever so slightly better this year with Turner on the bench, but I attribute that to him playing with starters. That's it to me. He defends better players. Done.
Yeah, he's their best defensive player. And I think he'd be defensive defensive player of the year on this team. The question I have is I'm not sure how, like, if he was a shooting guard from my forward, his defense would be so much more valuable. That's the problem, right? Like, he's a really good center, like defensive center, but like that kind of value is a diminishing value in this league. Like most teams, the best in the league don't need to necessarily have this awesome rim protector.
If you're just a rim protector, it's not that helpful in the playoffs. Thankfully, like he could shoot too, but he hasn't shot well in the playoffs, unfortunately.
Yeah, and he can guard the perimeter a little bit, but most of the team are going to jack up 45 threes a game, so your rim protecting kind of become diminished returns eventually.
Yeah, if his shooting materializes in the playoffs,
but, that'll look really but here's bad. The thing.
Last year, Kyrie was like, oh, thank God, Miles is out of the game.
His biggest problem, let's be real, is that he doesn't defend the really good players really well, right? Like, I think the thing I remember most about Roy Hibbert was that he forced LeBron in that series to every shot LeBron took in, like, 13, 14 range was a tough shot. And it you could tell it weighed in LeBron. Like, LeBron beat it because LeBron's the best player in the world at the time and is, like, not human, it feels like, in terms of his awesome strength, but like Turner doesn't, like, that's how you beat Giannis, right? Is you just like, you make, he might score 30 points, but make him go, you know, 8 of 25 on that and like make every shot he takes at the rim brutal. But Turner doesn't really do that in the same way. He's not that kind of defender. So that's where it kind of becomes diminishing. But like Gobert probably does that, but Turner doesn't quite do that.
Turner's really good at guarding like common actions, like amazing.
Yeah.
Pick and rolls, his drop coverage is unbelievable. He forces the other team shoot fewer shots when at the rim when Turner's in. So like he deters drives, which is really important too. Those kind of things all matter, right? Guys like get wide eyed and pass it away when he's under there. And I think those are the part of the reasons why he's such a good defender. And you know, he always thinks in the way of like the defensive captain, you know, calling out where to be and helping out with all that stuff. And he's clearly been very good on that end of the floor. But I think you're right, he has the flaws against the Embiid's he has flaws against the Montrezl Harrells of the world, right? Those guys kind of bully him. But he's very good at the team defense stuff, like shockingly good at the team defense stuff. And his rim protection is fantastic. So I picked him pretty easily. But Justin Holiday deserved a second shout from me because of his wing defense. It's been very good in his team defense. Took, you know, but yeah, Turner was an easy pick for me, despite his limitations.
Yeah, I think that this spot is probably reserved for Vic when he finally comes out. Because
Vic – all defense, Vic deserves a shout if he can get
just
to that
because
level
again. His ability to like cut off passing lanes and just, I mean, you can see a little bit now. He's been a pretty good defender since his return. You can kind of see he just has the ability to sort of like one take the charges and two he has kind of
this. It's so insane that he already leads the team in charges.
Well, he has this wall mentality. You watch guys try to get by him and he doesn't like. He kind of like he can puff his chest out and sort of like take the contact even when he's not getting off at the fouls, but just blocking guys from getting around him in a way that's right. Pretty good for a guy his size who's only 6'4", and probably is guarding guys who are a little bit bigger than him all the time. So he's probably the best defender on this team when everything kind of settles out. And Brogdon probably gets a shot at that too.
The best defensive lineup come playoff time, right, is going to be Brogdon, Vic, Warren, Holiday, Turner.
Yeah,
most maybe. Likely.
Unless you want to go small. And I mean,
yeah, defense is in at center for the team.
Bonus defensive rating has been pretty solid this year. Now, I get there's some other stuff, but because of his rebounding, he's been pretty solid. Like he doesn't.
Yeah. I don't need a rebound when you just need – well, I guess the Heat game would say otherwise.
Well, yeah, but if you force
– under 10 seconds left.
if your perimeter defense can force them to take a bunch of bad shots, you just need somebody to clean it up. You don't need somebody to protect the rim. So, yeah. I mean, that's – I mean, it's combination. You got to figure that out, right?
Yeah, but Turner was my pick. Although, I you know, the on-off stuff was interesting. I thought pretty hard about Justin Holiday, but Turner was my pick. We'll do the two gimmicky ones, and then Adam has some fun awards after a break coming up. But the two – gimmicky easy ones. So like the league gives out coach of the year and executive of the year. Congratulations to Kevin Pritchard for beating the nobody else.
What about Chad Buchanan, man?
I was going to say Chad Buchanan deserves a shout too, but the whole front office, honestly, we've sung the praises of their summer. They got really good players at key positions. They don't have a bad deal on their books. No. They're set up for a big trade. If they want to do it, they're ready.
And they're one of the few teams that has actually some mid-sized contracts, right? Like, I mean, I think a lot of the Ryan Russell and Bill Simmons, they talk about how like most teams have low contracts or high contracts, but they just have a lot of like $10 million contracts, which are good to piece together.
Very movable for a big deal. Yep, they're ready when the time is right.
Yeah, they're one of the, I think, the underrated teams lurking on whatever next guy's disgruntled to make a move because they have a lot of assets.
Coach of the year. Congratulations to the only head coach on the team, Nate McMillan. Of course, he just had his worst stretch of the season, but he also had a great stretch on the road trip and a pretty good January, December. They've been really good teams. He set up a lot of guys for success. We all know his flaws. We've talked about what, you know, our disdain with his occasional rotation errors and things like that, his stale offensive sets, but Nate McMillan's a pretty good head coach.
So assistant coach wise,
Dan,
Popeye or Dan? Cause I'm making some Popeye if you do one for Dan.
Sure. Popeye's awesome too. I don't know if you listened to my show yesterday, but I ran into him in the airport in Atlanta on my way home.
Which one? Who?
It's Popeye.
Popeye, nice.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Oh, was it? Well, no, wait. Where doesn't his son play? And it, never mind. There's no team in Atlanta anymore.
For the NHL. Yeah, it was cool to see him. But yeah, Dan Burke, because he just makes everybody good on defense, right? Like Brian Bowen talked to me this summer about how he's so good at like stuff we would never know as people who are not NBA players, like how to beat a guy to a spot slightly faster, like where to stand and turn and angle and all this stuff that. Like, unless it's egregiously bad, like Jeremy Lamb sometimes does, we notice that. But, like, on a possession-to-possession basis, stuff we just never notice. Like, Dan Burke is the master of that. Pacers always have good team defense because of him, and he's my pick. Like, look what he's done with Warren this year. And, we you know, McDermott's still not a good defender, but similar. We talked about him last year stepping up on that end of the floor. Like, he just makes guys better on that end.
Yeah, I think Papa gets some credit for coaching up the centers. I
mean, look, yeah, he's great.
Kind of like caught the tail end of Roy Hibbert, which I think that might have been less of him. But then, you know, he got Turner where he's at, which is impressive considering Kyle Turner was pretty raw when he came in the league, and he got Sabonis where he's at. And Sabonis, yep.
He works with them before every game.
Yeah, so there's some credits. I mean, the Pacers have two pretty good centers, and that's part of that's coaching.
They have a great assistant coaching staff.
Yep, I think one of the best in the league. That's where they consistently stay solid, 45 plus wins a year.
You got enough fun awards for us to do?
Yeah, I got three of them. Four. All right,
let's do it. I did not write about these, so I don't have them in front of me. So Adam, lead the show here. Take it away.
All right. There's going to be some cursing. So if you got kids,
kids. Okay.
So there probably aren't any kids. Let's be real. So the first award. This is just kind of a funny one. The player that gives you the most what the fuck moments. Now, this could be good or bad. This could be good or bad.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Well, I want to highlight specific things.
That's fine. So why don't you list off? Do you have some top of your head? Or do you want me to go first?
I have two on the top of my head, but I will save one and do one right away. All right. This is a good one. I'll do a good one first, if that's
okay. Okay. Go ahead.
My good one is Malcolm Brogdon clutch dunks because he never dunks during the game, but he has – he's had, like, over the last month, like, four games where he just, like, drives and just massive dunk at him. Like, what the – like, what? Where did that come from? Why did he do that? And it's always, like, a huge momentum-changing shot that I'm like – it's crazy. I love when he does it.
Okay. That's a pretty fair one. The one positive one I had was anytime TJ Warren hits some, like, floating shot off his back. It's like – I mean – or when he hits –
how do you guard that?
When he hits like a 14-foot floater off a foot, like he's rolling, he's coming across the court and he catches a ball. He never squares up straight. He just kind of takes his right hand, puts it up, and then jumps off that left foot and just kind of pushes it into the hoop. I mean, it's just like, it's always like, what? Like, when I used to play basketball, I like to shoot floaters because I was so short. So, like, I could never get in the lane because I get stuffed. But I'm like, Warren's got like huge size. I mean, the guy's got a wingspan, probably 7+ feet. I mean, he can score, he can get over most dudes, and yet he still just takes these like weird floaters that go in almost every time.
My bad one that I thought of was Jeremy Lamb head scratching defensive moments.
was a little early.
He loves to like go for that reach behind steal, and he gets it every once in a while. But there are so many times where I'm like, why is your body facing that direction? Or like, what? Like, what did you just do? Why did you do that? Or even rebounds. Like, you know how many long rebounds on D that Lamb just runs in, and all of a sudden his guy's wide open. Lamb, I defend your fit with the bench and your offense all the time, but your defense is not my taste this season so far.
Yeah, he looks a little bit like confused a lot of the times.
Yeah, there's my negative one. I'm trying to think of other ones.
So my negative one is some of the clutch play. I mean, it starts with TJ Warren jacking up a corner shot that hit the back end of the rim in, what, the third game of the year against Detroit? That made no sense with 9 seconds on the clock. And it ends with, what was, I'm trying to the last, what would that, it was the inbounds play to Vic, right? They got it right the first time and they screw up the next time and they, took, they didn't get a shot off, right? Or whatever it was, or like the Miami game where, you know, Aaron Holiday ignored his coaches and decided to just roll the rim, which maybe wasn't a bad shot, but then they couldn't get a rebound the play before that. I mean, there's been a lot of like clutch plays in the game where I'm like, how the hell
you can point your finger at 1,000 different dudes.
Yeah, it wouldn't just be those two. It was just
including
two.
Including people in suits, right? Exactly.
Yeah, it's been everybody.
That's so true.
Effort to lose clutch games. Let's put it that way.
I did the positive clutch thing with Brogdon, but yeah, most of the time it has that.
Well, I think in the Philadelphia game where they threw the ball away 3 different times to Ben Simmons who dunked it. Like, Ben Simmons can't shoot, but to give him the ball running towards the court, he's going to score. Like, the only time he's going to score
every time
is when he gets like a shot within 3 feet and give him the easiest shot in the world. I mean, it's
every time.
Been a few of them. It was like, oh God.
I had one when I had one game when they won in Brooklyn with Nazmi Trulong as their backup point guard. Where like Naz would come in and he was like good and helpful. I was like, what? Like, how is this guy in a two-way? This guy's good. That's my game.
Was that the Nets game they won?
Yeah, they won in Brooklyn. They had like everybody hurt. And like Naz and Alizé were like in the rotation and they won.
That's
on the road.
Yes, I remember. Was that the – that was the second time they played, right? The first time.
Yes, it was the second time. The first time was the game Miles got hurt.
That's right. And that was – did Aaron Holiday have like 20 points in that game too?
Yeah, both Holidays played really good the second time in the Naz game.
Okay, yeah. That's
that game in general is just crazy.
Yeah. God, this season's been so long. All right, so the next one I have is kind of a rip from a lot of people, but like the no, don't shoot, oh, wait.
The Lance Stephenson Award?
Yeah, so there's one moment I particularly remember. So we were both at this game, actually. The Orlando game where Aaron Holiday – just jacked up a game-winning three. I mean, they set a screen. I was like, I think they were down two, but they were running with other action. And he just took the three and he made it. He's done a couple of times. I think against the Raptors would be a good example of that, where he just kept taking threes going in, even though, you know, I don't know. I always think he shouldn't take the three-point shot. And so that's the player I thought of, like, oh, wait, no. Oh, okay, that went in. Cool.
You referenced them earlier in a different way, but a lot of the Warren floaters, not a lot of them. That's not true. Yeah. I trust him to make them enough that I'm not like, no. But there's someone like, why did you shoot that? And then he just makes it. Doesn't make any sense.
For me too, there's a couple.
There has to be more. I have a few more.
So it's anytime Miles Turner takes a 20-foot shot, except it goes
inside
in.
Inside the 3-point line, yeah.
It goes in, but it's like, wait, no, don't shoot that.
Step back, get back.
Maybe that's no, don't shoot. Maybe there's no way.
Another one for me is those McConnell block fadeaway shots.
Because they're so, those are like the weirdest.
It's
like
and he makes enough of them, probably like 40%. Like that's bad. That's a bad efficiency. Like, but I get why he keeps taking them. But like,
gotta keep him honest. That's what he does. Keep him honest. I think the Vic 28-foot shot is one of those. I mean, that he made against the Bulls
just rips him.
Yeah. He shot a three well. Since he got
that logo pull up he had on the during the losing streak. I think it was against the Mavs. I was like, oh, is he gonna become like Lillard-esque and just be yanking these insane threes once a game?
Yeah, well, he made the one against the Bulls. Luckily, they won that game.
He made the important one, yeah. I'm trying to think if there's any other ones I have. I'm thinking of, like, the very end of roster guys, because most guys in the rotation, like...
A lot of Gogo's threes feel like they're really slow. They go in eventually.
They go, yeah. Like, all McDermott shots are great. All Justin Holiday shots are great.
Yeah.
I can't think of any, I guess, right now.
I can think of like a couple times where they like I'm thinking of that play where they threw the ball all the way down the court. It's like, well, no, why would you do that kind of play? But I guess that's still more like a what the fuck moment.
Yeah.
When Sabonis chucked the ball halfway down the court to Turner, who was definitely not ready to catch the ball, and you knew.
I wish we did this award last year so I could talk about Tyreke Evans.
Oh my God! Well,
he had quite a few.
Yes, he did. All right, so I've got two more. We can burn through this, but so I think they might go kind of together. But this one is the player we thought would suck, but actually didn't.
Well, it's the same guy. We're both going to pick Justin Holiday, right?
I think that's the choice, right?
Yeah, he is easily the choice. That award seems made for him.
I thought you would say Aaron Holiday. I thought
I was going to say McConnell. I thought would suck.
And that's right.
Suck it for three games, and then he was amazing. So
you were really out on McConnell start of the year.
Out on McConnell. Made no sense to me that he was playing over Aaron. Now it makes sense. But yeah, this is Justin Holiday, right? We talked about it. He was fringe of the NBA kind of guy.
You know, I've got a dark horse one, but keep going. Sorry.
Okay. friends of the NBA kind of guy. And all of a sudden I'm like, man, like he's going to get $10 million next summer if he keeps shooting this well.
What about Shakar? Shakar's having kind of
that. Oh, like, my gosh. Whoa. I forgot Shakar. Yeah, he's been like the second best power forward on the roster this year.
If he could figure out how to like get a jump shot, he'd be really solid.
Yeah, he doesn't. I'll give him credit for this. He knows he can't shoot them, so he just doesn't ever take them.
No, but think about it. If he had a legit jump shot, he's a pretty good defender at the four. Like, he'd be playing minutes.
Yeah, I like Jakar. Man, he probably won't be back next. Well, I guess there's not a reason he wouldn't be back. I don't know what his opportunities will look
like. Oh, it's a league. Usually just cycle through.
Yeah, minimum guys just shuffle. But, yeah, he's been a very pleasant surprise. Like, when he's filled in to start, he's like, yeah, I can do it. And does a great job every time.
Going back to the no, wait, don't shoot moment, preseason against the Kings, Jakar nailing a couple threes. That would definitely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, preseason, you could even dig up like Jakeenan Gant shots and stuff.
No, like but like Jakar had a couple big threes that were like, oh, that went in. And yeah. Like, remember when he started trash talking to the Kings bench during that?
Yeah, he got a technical foul.
Yeah.
In preseason.
In India.
In India, yeah. Man, I miss when the namey of the award, Lance. I do miss how many times with him. Like, I would just put my hand in my head and be like, why did you shoot? And then he'd make it. Okay. Whatever.
And I think the last one for me would be the most shocking individual performance. That's the last
one. Most shocking one individual performance?
Yeah. Pick a game. I got a couple in mind. I'm trying to pull them up to make sure I remember.
Oh, we talked about this kind of before when we were trying to make up a one award. Yeah. That's right. It's hard to separate this into like a good player, right? Because good players, it's not as shocking. Although they look like Jeremy Lamb had that 30-point game. I think he had 2 30-point games. That's shocking. Yeah. That's huge. But it's like he can score, so it's not. It's different than the game that made me think of this as something we could talk about is the TJ Leaf 11. I think 11, maybe 12 points, 15 rebounds against the Cavs, and they won by 7. Like they don't win that game without TJ Leaf, and now we like kind of can be on the team next year, like. Where did that come from? How did he do that?
Yeah. No, that's fair. I mean, I'm kind of going guys maybe contributed a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree. I shouldn't be doing like that.
So I've got a couple in mind. I'll just read them off for you. So So the first one that comes to mind is McDermott against Denver.
Oh, my gosh. How did I forget that one?
Where he was just unconscious for that fourth quarter. 9 of 10 from the field, 6 of 7 from 3, 24 points. Another game that will probably go down is ignored because they lost in a really just shitty fashion. But Justin Holiday against the Raptors like last week or 2 weeks ago.
He was on fire that game.
He was awesome. I mean, he was hitting. I mean, I think they were trying the first quarter, right? And then they went up huge because him and Devin had this amazing second quarter that brought up. And then obviously they couldn't finish it out. And that was a big deal. And then I'm trying to pull the TJ Warren game where he had like 36 points against the
Hornets.
The Hornets had 36.
He had 36. He had 7 points at halftime, though. That's why that one was so shocking.
Yeah, we had a huge second half, right? And I'm trying to think, where's the game? Like, it was a couple games where he shot like only missed one or two shots, and it was just
Philly was one of them,
right? At the Philly game where he had like 30 something points on like right. So yeah, Charlotte he had 15 of 18 shooting the first time back, and Denver where he had 33 points. I'm trying to find the Philly game.
I got one for you. TJ McConnell's 17 points, 9 assists game, and their only win over the Pistons.
That's not a bad one.
That was his big night shooting. I mean, he's played a bunch of that game. You're never like, oh, TJ McConnell's going to be the guy to score this game. I'm trying to think of some other ones.
It's a bonus.
I mean, that Leaf one is really sticking out to me, but it's hard to separate into like.
Right. Bonus hasn't really had one of those like 12 of 12 games this year, right? He's had a couple kind of got.
Like, no, he shot well. He's had triple doubles, but like, that's not shocking to me. He's really good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so I would say. For me, with him, it's like all of a sudden he's becoming like this like assist kind of wizard. I mean, I don't know how to put it. Like you look at like his assist numbers since like the beginning of the year, he's up to like, I think, 7 or 8 assists a game almost. Six point two.
He's up to 6. He's third on the team in assists, or maybe second now.
Which, I mean, if you take his first like 3 months of the year, I mean, I'm sure he had a good amount of assists, but not to the level he's at right now.
No, he's getting the ball a little bit more, I think, Brogdon.
That's 4. So he's up. So the first 3 months, he had 4 assists per game. Now he's at 6.2 over the last month and a half.
I was checking on the Jeremy Lamb 30-point game that was against Denver at home. In Lamb's 3 highest scoring games, they lost all 3. Wasting big performances. That Leaf game against Cleveland, man, it's just like, what?
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't Cleveland. Maybe it was the Bulls. I think it was
against some garbage team, as I remember.
Yeah, it was a bad team. I don't remember. Well, that one stands out to me. That's a fun one.
An honorable mention might be Miles, 27 points against the Bulls, or Miles.
They carried them 2-0 without Sabonis.
24 against the Raptors when they won that game back in December.
Yeah. Yeah, the holiday tournament.
See, he's like teasing you. He has his awesome nights where it's like, can you do this every night? And then he can't, and it's like, God damn it.
Yeah. Well, it is what it is.
Yeah.
All right. I got nothing else. It's good to be back talking to you, Adam.
Yes, it's been
nice. Hope you enjoyed your All-Star game. I hope you had some Taco Bell in honor of the Taco Bell Skills Challenge. I don't know.
No, I do not eat Taco Bell, Tony. That is bad for your stomach.
I don't eat
Taco Bell. I used to eat a lot in high school, so I do not eat anymore.
Wow. Look at that.
I found better, a little bit higher quality crab Mexican food that's like maybe like 10 bucks more, but you get like more food and it tastes better. Yeah. It doesn't come out as rough. So.
All right.
Baja Blast or Salad. It's an ad. Free ad to talk about right there.
We got a mailbag coming tomorrow and Nick's preview Friday, and then back to normal day-to-day stuff next week. Should be fun to see the Pacers back in swing, Adam. I'm excited to watch them.
Nick is a lot better this time.
I think this break will really help them.
Well, hopefully. I hope Vic comes back and it's like shooting 8 of 14 and –
Yeah, he shot pretty well in that last game, right? 4 or 5.
Okay. Let's see that for 6 games or 7 games.
When he's shooting more than 5 shots, yeah. I got nothing else. Awards are fun.
Yep. As always, you can follow Tony at TeastNBA and me at Freeman5 on our podcast at Locked On Pacers.
Yes, for all the fun Twitter stuff. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we will see you tomorrow.